Just, we're going to remain standing, I hope you won't mind. I'm just going to say a few words about the sad loss of from this council chamber and to this world of Sonia, former councillor Sonia Andjelkovic. There is an old American Indian saying that goes that when we lose someone out of the world gets smaller. Now this chamber is, in my opinion, and I hope you agree, is much smaller without Sonia's input and Sonia's vibrance of life into this. So I'd like you to please just have a moment's silence for Sonia. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, we'll continue with the meeting. Please be seated. Okay, we'll carry on with the... Just move that slightly. Carry on with the agenda. Apologies for absence. Andy, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Apologies have been received from Councillors Bilth, Fletcher, Jones, Grosvenor and Whittaker.
Thank you. Item number two, declarations of interest. Are there any? You've all seen the agenda, I'm sure. Okay, no. Thank you. Item number three. To approve the minutes of the meeting held on the 13th of January 2020, or this year. First of all, you've all seen the minutes, I'm sure. Could I have a proposer for that, for the minutes? Councillor Goodfellow, thank you. And a seconder. Councillor Allen, thank you. Okay, so we're going to move to... Are there any debates on that? We're all happy with it, yes? So shall we go to the vote? Those in favour? Those against? And abstentions? Thank you, it's carried. Thank you. Okay, item number four, announcements from the leader or proper officer. First of all, what we need to do is welcome a new councillor to the chamber, Councillor Laura Beach for Yoxall. Maybe we should give her a round of applause, I think, for... Welcome, Laura. Item number five, urgent business. I don't think there is any urgent business. No. Okay. Item number six, the Monitoring Officer's annual report. Over to Angela.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is the Monitoring Officer's annual report, and as such, it will be very familiar to many of you. The key points to note are that we have once more as a council not used our RIPA powers of surveillance, covert surveillance, in the last 12 months. We're awaiting declarations of interest from one parish council, namely Yoxall, and you'll see that there's been something of a downturn in the number of formal complaints that have been made to me in the last 12 months. I do have one update to notify to all of you, which is that since this report was circulated, I have received one additional complaint concerning a borough councillor. Members are asked to note the contents of my report. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
As Angela said, that is to be noted. Item number seven, changes to committee membership. I invite Principal Democratic Services Officer Andrea to present this report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report provides an update on the ramifications to the membership of committees and subcommittees of the Council following the election of Councillor Laura Beach in Yoxall Ward, which took place on the 13th of February 2020, the passing of Councillor Sonia Andjelkovic and the resignation of Councillor Dale Spedding. It highlights the following changes to proportionality. The Conservative Group gains one seat on the Scrutiny, Community Regeneration, Environment, Health and Wellbeing Committee. The Labour Group loses one seat on the Development Plan Committee, gains one seat on the Audit Statements of Accounts Committee and one seat on the Scrutiny, Audit and Value for Money Council Services Committee. The Independent Alliance Group loses one seat on the Audit Statement of Accounts Committee, one seat on the Scrutiny, Audit and Value for Money Council Services Committee, one seat on the Scrutiny, Community Regeneration, Environment and Health and Wellbeing Committee, and gains one seat on the Development Plan Committee. Nominations to committees have been received as follows. From the Leader of the Council to appoint Councillor Laura Beach to the Scrutiny, Audit and Value for Money Council Services Committee, Audit and Statements of Accounts Committee, and to the Scrutiny, Community Regeneration, Environment, Health and Wellbeing Committee. The remaining unfilled seats to remain vacant. In addition, the Leader has asked me to confirm he has appointed Councillor Mrs. V. Gould, Chairman of the Planning Committee, to replace Councillor Greg Hall. The Leader of the Opposition has confirmed that the Labour Committee seats, which are currently unfilled, will remain vacant. The Independent Alliance Group Leader has confirmed that Councillor Helen Hall will remain on the Scrutiny, Audit, Value for Money Council Services Committee and the Audit Statement of Accounts Committee, and Councillor Florence Dukes will take up the seat on the Development Plan Committee and Senior Officer Employment Committee. Members will be aware that a further report on committee membership will be submitted to the next council meeting following the by-elections taking place in Eaton Ward on the 26th of March. I will now pass back to you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a proposer for that? Councillor Gaskin and a seconder. Okay, Councillor Metcalfe. Thank you. Okay, should we go to, would anyone like to first of all chat about this the changes? Okay, that's good. We'll go to the vote. Those in favour? Those against? And abstentions. Okay, that's carried. Thank you. Okay, item number 8, the Midterm Financial Strategy Statement 2020-21 and 23-24. I invite the Leader of the Council, Councillor Goodfry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It gives me great pleasure to introduce the Council's medium-term financial strategy for the next financial year through to 2024-25. Excuse me. The Council has continued to work hard to identify savings and new ways of working to ensure value for money for our residents and to protect frontline services. Despite significant uncertainty over future central government funding levels, our proactive approach and prudent use of the new homes bonus monies has given us the capacity to set a balanced budget over the five-year period. I am therefore pleased to set out the strategy, which, through the effective management of resource, forms a robust basis for managing the Council's finances and meeting its objectives over the period. The announcement of the provisional local government settlement for 2020-21 was made in late December 2019. This follows a prolonged period of central funding reductions to local authorities. East Staffordshire Borough Council has seen a reduction in settlement funding of 78% or £6.4 million on a like-for-like basis between 2010 and 2019. It was originally anticipated that large-scale reforms would be made to government funding from the 1st of April 2020. However, it was announced in September 2019 that these reforms would be delayed until 2021-22. The settlement, therefore, resulted in a small inflationary increase of 51,000, or 1.6%, to the core funding settlement. New homes bonus was also announced alongside the settlement, with the council's allocation for 2020-2021 of 2.4 million, reflecting an increase in properties added to the council tax base, which was well above average. However, the government also set out that there would be no legacy payments attached to the in-year element of this funding, meaning future loss of funding to the council of 2.6 million over a three-year future period. Members will be aware that for the current financial year, we are piloting a 75% business rates retention scheme as part of a pool alongside the other Staffordshire authorities. Whilst we have not had the opportunity to continue this pilot for the next financial year, we have agreed to roll forward the existing Staffordshire business rates pool based on the existing 50% retention scheme, the estimated windfall being 200,000 for East Staffordshire Borough Council, and more importantly, 5.1 million to support wider services across the county as a whole, which would otherwise have returned to central government. Our most recent budget consultation demonstrated that people wanted to ensure local services are protected, even if that meant an increase in council tax and charges for the services we provide. Set against a backdrop of no increase by this authority in council tax between 2010 and 2018, and the fact that our share of the council tax is below the national average, this strategy before you this evening assumes that the Band D council tax charge will increase by £5, the equivalent of 50 pence over 10 monthly instalments from 2020 to 2021, to protect our services and the financial future of the council. The strategy identifies a number of risks and uncertainties, which are outlined within section 11 of the report. The most significant of these relates to the uncertainty around core government funding, including the proposal to move to a business rates retention system based on 75% retained by local authorities, which has now been deferred until April 2021. This is planned to be implemented alongside a fairer funding review, the business rates reset, and take account of the next spending review. So there is a considerable amount of uncertainty. All of the risks identified have been carefully considered, and a prudent approach has been taken in preparing this strategy. The report before you proposes a five-year balanced MTFS, and this is after taking into account a prudent approach to central funding expectations beyond next year, as well as some significant service pressures. These are a reduction in recycling income from markets, rates and tonnage levels, ongoing pressures on the waste management service, and increased costs associated with the maintenance of our statutory duty for maintaining the housing register. The report also highlights the areas in which significant savings or additional income levels have been identified, enabling a balanced budget to be set for the forthcoming year. These include ongoing savings following the successful transfer of our leisure services to a third-party provider, housing growth resulting in additional new homes bonus funding and higher than expected council tax base growth, the realignment of car parking tariffs with inflation, and the reallocation of planned debt repayment against leisure borrowing. While some one-off new homes bonus monies have been utilised to support the budget, this does mean that further ongoing savings will need to be identified in the future. The authority has an excellent track record of delivering savings, and the key themes of our efficiency strategy are outlined at paragraph 8.4 of the report, which establishes our approach to delivering the necessary expenditure reductions in future. The strategy also sets out a varied programme of capital activities, including the regeneration of public realm at Station Street, which is due to start very shortly, a provisional funding allocation for enhancements at the Washlands, working in partnership with the Environment Agency and the Greater Birmingham and Solihull LEP. There are allocations to expand the cemetery at Stapenhill, reduce our debt, which will deliver savings to the revenue budget, as well as funding to provide grants for both small businesses and disabled facilities. We have also been given the opportunity to submit proposals to government for up to £25 million of funding for the regeneration of Burton Town as part of the Stronger Towns Fund. We will be working closely with partners and an advisory board to prepare this important and critical bid. Members of the council will be aware that the authority once again received a very positive report from the external auditors in relation to our financial performance and value for money. And I believe that despite the continued funding uncertainty, this strategy enables this position to be maintained. With this in mind, the MTFS report includes a positive statement from the Chief Financial Officer on the robustness of the budgets and the appropriate use and level of our reserves. In conclusion, overall, I believe this is a sound and prudent budget which recognises the Council's priorities and objectives. Despite significant uncertainty over future funding levels, the authority has been able to respond to the challenge positively, producing a five-year balanced budget which is both prudent and provides protection for frontline services. I would like to formally record my thanks to all the officers and all those associated with the preparation of it. I would like to move, Mr. Mayor, the recommendations as set out in paragraph 20 of the report.
Okay, thank you, Leader. Can we have a seconder for this, please? Councillor Peters, thank you. Okay. First of all, debate. Would anyone like to debate on this issue? Okay. Okay, Councillor Florence Jones.
Thank you, Mayor. It's just a clarification point, really, on the MTFS booklet. Page 3, you mentioned about a consultation taking place in 2019, the August of. How was the consultation conducted? How many residents did we have at that time? How many took part in the survey? And what percentage? You mentioned a 60, or there was mentioned in the report of a 65% call for retention of services as they were, that people wouldn't mind paying a bit more for services. So I wonder if you could give me those figures, please. Thank you.
Yeah. Would anyone else? Yep, Councillor Chowdhury.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let me start by saying I understand the predicament and the dilemma that the controlling group is in the backdrop of 78% reduction in funding since 2010, with 6.4 million, as it said. It's not easy to balance the numbers, and I understand that. But when I hear that there are further savings to be found, I remember when this austerity started back in 2010, there was definition of these savings or value for money that was to provide the equivalent service for less money. Well, it was equivalent service of the operative word. Since then, obviously, we've started to talk about savings. I don't know why we don't call them cuts, because in reality, that is what it is, really. That's the harsh reality. So we're saying a lot of cuts, and it's not. I can understand why we're having cuts. We don't have the resource. We can't provide the services. It's as simple as that. But look, I don't want to talk about numbers as we do traditionally. I want to broaden the debate, I think, and I hope that Mr. Mayor, you'll allow me to do that. We are all in. Why do we come on? Why do we put ourselves forward for the elections? And it's only for one reason. It is there. It's there to serve the people that we represent. And we are here to do a duty. We are here to represent our residents. We're here to do the best we can for our residents.
I know you've been told, you're going to interject, say anything controversial. Ask questions about this.
Absolutely, it's all about everything feeds into the budget.
Yeah, okay.
It's all about the services. Please hear me out.
I will.
If I say anything controversial, then you can stop me, but, you know, don't prejudge. So what I say to you is, look, this is the only, you know, the way this council is set up, again, it is what it is. This is the system we have. So what I'm saying is that we are here, we come to represent our people. But what actually happens when we step outside our doors, when we go into our areas, when we meet our people, what do we see? You know, we see that we have an infrastructure falling into pieces. We see that the services are being cut. We see antisocial behavior. We see drugs.
Councillor Chowdhury, look, I'm going to stop you because you're wandering on.
Now, come to the point,
because if you don't come to the point, I'm just going to ask you to sit down and let other people carry on with the debate. So please, come to the point.
Okay, I'll come to the point. If you allow me to speak, I'll come to the point.
I have loudly.
If you think any of the things I'm saying that you cannot relate to or it does not affect us, listen, we've been siloed. The problem we've got is we've been siloed. We've been siloed as parish councils, we've been siloed as borough council, we've been siloed as the county council, and we've been siloed as health service, we've been siloed as the police service, whatever it is. Everything comes together. So unless all of these organizations come together, all of us come together, you know, you cannot function as a society as it is. So it is important to
Councillor
have that broader context.
Councillor Chowdhury, what is your point to the leader on this motion? What is your point?
Okay. So my point is that we need to have a debate as a forum, as a council, to see where we're going holistically as a council. So let me give you a direct example. You know, you say come to the point. Station Street, for example. We are looking to do some improvements in Station Street. Great. And I'm happy with that. It's a good thing. But look at the state of our high street, the pedestrianized area of the high street. If you've been down there as recently, if you walk down there, it's not safe to walk in a pothole. Look at our town center. Isn't that a concern for us? Isn't that a concern that we have in this budget? How is that not relevant? How is improvement?
Councillor Chowdhury, excuse me, Councillor Chowdhury, please sit down. I think you know you've had your say now. Please sit down.
I will sit down under protest. I think stifling the debate.
I'm not stifling
is
debate.
Not the right is thing the last to thing do, I'm... Mr. Mayor. I'm sorry. I'll sit down. But
thank
under
you.
Protest, I think,
well,
I think you've been
you.
Unfair
okay.
that you're not allowing us to talk about the holistic issues that we're facing as a council.
Councillor Chowdhury, please sit down.
Members, we're denying our fundamental right, and I think that is unacceptable.
Councillor Chowdhury, sit down, please.
Thank you.
Your thoughts, as Mayor, your thoughts are noted, and I think, quite honestly, genuinely, I let everyone have their say in this chamber, and I pride myself on that. So I think you've had your say. Would anyone else like to? Thank you, Councillor Lamb.
Yeah, it's just a general question on risks, because you mentioned risks and they've been looked at and considered. And I just asked the question, in light of our experiences in the last week or so on the flooding and the problems that's caused, is there anything that should be allocated to the risks there in terms of things we as a council might need to do? Implications in sort of, impacts on businesses and other costs that potentially could come across and hurt us. So I'm just wondering if that's been considered a risk.
Anyone else? Councillor Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll try not to be too controversial. Could the leader give me an explanation, a breakdown of the staffing realignments? I see you propose to make roughly £84,000 worth of savings there in my industry, staffing realignments usually mean one thing: either somebody's out the door or they're going to be downgraded. In part of your budget, you make a lot of reference to guesses and a Brexit deal. How sure, and I don't know how sure any of us can be, you're going to get a deal, because all the political pundits at the minute are suggesting we're heading towards a crash out. So how will that affect your budget? And thirdly, following on from Councillor Lamb's point about risk, I think that's well worth asking that question, because with the recent flooding, and there's just been businesses flooded in Shobnal, where it was quite alarming that we only had 100 sandbags in ready to go out into the areas. So is there anything built into that risk so we won't see this sort of thing happen again?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've just noticed that the leader of the council would like to propose £5 increase in the MD property in the council tax. And I've just a simple question, not a political anything, as a resident actually more than a councillor. Will I see any improvement in my Oxbridge Street or in my own street in Clarence Street, where if you go on a weekdays, you can find more than 847 cigarette ends on the streets? Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, thank you. So, Leader, would you like to answer those, please?
I will be delighted. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, everybody. Dealing with those in order, Councillor Florence Jukes, this question around the consultation exercise. So the consultation exercise is something that takes place periodically, has taken place in the past, and has had a fairly low response rate. When it was undertaken in 2018, it had a response rate of, I think it was 275 respondents out of the total residents of the borough, which I don't happen to have on hand, but it's about 80,000. So those are the numbers. That response rate was higher than it had been previously, and we'd made more of a proactive effort to get consultation. I'm sure we can do more to that. I know I personally circulated the link via social media, and I suspect many other councillors did as well. Certainly it's something I would like to broaden out, but those are the numbers in answer to your question. Councillor Chowdhury, I'm not entirely sure what the question was, but I appreciate your sentiment, and I appreciate the difficulty there is across all public services, and I appreciate the need to work together. I think I'm very receptive to working together. I know that I've invited members of the party opposite, as it were, to join in the Star Chambers process with us to explain in a bit more detail our thinking and our approach. We are working far more closely than I think we have in the past with the County Council, and we're also looking at every opportunity of joint working. I don't think I would want to stifle any debate, and I'm happy to debate with you at any point, and I'm more than happy to meet with you at any point to take the discussion further. Councillor Lamb, were you next, I think? Yeah, so Councillor Lamb, on flooding risk. the situation with flooding, in terms of, you've got a written response in front of you in terms of what's happened in the last couple of weeks, and it clearly appears that this is something that is likely to be a more frequent occurrence. And one of the things that Councillor Peters will be bringing forward in the next financial year is a strategy around adaptation for climate change. One of the lessons learned, I think, from the past few days is we haven't got enough sandbags for starters. But yes, absolutely, we recognise it as a risk. I recognise it as a risk, and climate change adaptation is built into our programme going forward. And flooding is going to be an important part of that for a settlement on the river. Councillor Walker, the staffing realignments, taking on board your comments, actually, the change in overall headcount, the overall FTE headcount is 3.2. Of that 3.2, there is one redundancy that's already been made at a team leader level. That's following a restructure of a certain team. And actually, that FTE change has already been backfilled by new frontline services. So the reductions effectively have been in back office services. They have been replaced with a new refuse driver and a new frontline officer. I can't really be responsible for negotiating Brexit, so I'm going to have to leave that to Boris, I'm afraid. But it is within our risks. It's within our considerations. But we are to an extent a passenger. But we can do our best to be prepared. Personally speaking, I suspect we'll probably get some form of deal in time. That's just my personal opinion. Councillor Hussein, I hope you will see improvements in Uxbridge Street. We have, so part of the council tax increase will be used to protect services. That will be. So to give you an example, so we've procured new software for our street cleaning equipment. So with that new software, we will be able to properly map and accurately map areas which require more frequent attention. So absolutely feed that in to the officers to make sure that we've got that mapped, and that then can be built into a program of ongoing improvement, and therefore I didn't write down the number of cigarette butts, but the number of cigarette butts in Uxbridge Street will hopefully reduce significantly.
Thank you, Leader. In accordance with the rules of procedure, Part 3A of the Constitution, Section 17.4, a name vote is called for. So monitoring officer will call out each councillor, and you will either say for or against, and or abstain, of course. Yes, thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Aykroyd.
For.
Councillor Allen.
For.
Councillor Ashcroft.
For.
Councillor Barker.
For.
Councillor Beach.
For.
Councillor Brady.
For.
Councillor Chowdhury.
Abstain.
Councillor Clark.
For.
Councillor Faulkner.
For.
Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Abstain.
Councillor Florence Dukes.
Yes.
Councillor Gaskin.
For.
Councillor Goodfellow.
For.
Councillor Gould.
For.
Councillor Greg Hall.
For.
Councillor Helen Hall.
Against.
Councillor Hudson.
For.
Councillor Hussein.
Against.
Councillor Killoran.
For.
Councillor Lamb.
Abstain.
Councillor Legg.
Abstain.
Councillor McGarry.
For.
Councillor McKiernan.
Abstain.
Councillor Metcalfe.
For.
Councillor Peters.
For.
Councillor Raybould.
For.
Councillor Sankey.
For.
Councillor Shrive.
Against.
Councillor Sylvester.
For.
Councillor Walker.
Against.
And Councillor Wildman.
For.
That's carried.
Thank you. The motion is carried. Thank you, Leader. So there's a reason why Leader has stayed up at the lectern. Item number 9, Treasury Management Strategy Statement. annual investment strategy for 2020-21 and lead up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this report sets out the approved Treasury management strategy, Treasury management and investment strategy for 2020-2021. The report has already been considered by the Audit and Value for Money Council Services Scrutiny Committee, whereby the committee was satisfied with its contents. The underlying principles within the strategy for 2020-2021 are largely consistent with the current year, and the statutory prudential indicators reflect the spending proposals set out within the medium-term financial strategy, which members have already approved. The covering report highlights the following aspects of the strategy. Consistent with the proposals within the MTFS, our underlying need to borrow is forecast to significantly reduce, reflecting both statutory and voluntary repayments. There is a significant benefit in terms of savings to the revenue budget, both in the short, medium, and long term from this approach. This continues the strategy adopted by the Council in recent years to utilise a proportion of windfall one-off monies to reduce the cost of borrowing to the revenue budget and protect frontline services. The report does nevertheless highlight some increases in the underlying need to borrow over the three-year period due to the implementation of a new accounting standard associated, which it is anticipated will bring some existing lease arrangements onto the balance sheet and, depending on the outcome of the Smarter Waste Review, the replacement of existing waste vehicles. The strategy continues to provide scope to allow investment in property funds. It is once again proposed that any investment of this nature would be subject to approval by the Cabinet Member responsible for finance, me, Chair of Scrutiny, Audit and Value for Money Council Services Committee, and the Chief Financial Officer. Finally, as you will already be aware, the Council adopts a relatively low-risk approach to its borrowing and investment decisions, with security being the principal consideration, followed by liquidity and finally return. With this in mind, I move the recommendations as set out in Section 10 of the report.
Thank you, Leader. Do we have a seconder for that? Councillor Hudson, thank you. Okay, would anyone like to speak on this motion? Okay, so we'll go to the vote. Those in favour? Those against? And abstentions? Okay, I'm sure that's carried. Yep, that's carried. Thank you. Okay. Go to item number 10 on the agenda now, the council tax setting for 2020-21. Again, the leader is going to lead on this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this report formalises the setting of council tax for 2020-2021 in accordance with appropriate legislative requirements. So the MTFS, presented and approved earlier in the agenda, proposed that the Borough Council's element of the council tax for 2020-2021 increase by £5, the equivalent of 50 pence per month over 10 instalments, to £177.30 for a Band D property. Members will note that all three of the other major preceptors have increased their council tax rate, and the charges for local preceptors are set out in Appendix 12.6 to the report. I therefore move the recommendations as set out in Section 10 of the report.
Thank you, Leader. Can we have a seconder for that? Okay, Councillor Gaskin, thank you. Does anyone like to debate on that item? Councillor Chowdhury.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, I'm pleased that you're saying that we can let's have a debate, because this is a debate. It's not questions. How did the monitoring officer knew what I was going to say, and before you whispered in your ear, in the last item, if you can't talk about the plight of our people?
Can I ask you to stand up when you're talking, please?
The standing orders are sit down, but I'm happy to stand up. So we are talking about the council tax increase. And if you can't talk about the plight of our people, if you can't debate the issues that our people are facing, What are we here to do? I still object to the way the I was stopped and the advice that you that was whispered in your ear. I think that was not right. Without me being able to debate, and it's a debate, it's a discussion.
I'm going to stop you again.
Thank you.
I don't have to have the advice in my ear. I think what you said to me personally as mayor was quite insulting about not letting people have debate, and that's why I stopped you. You were going on and not asking a question of the leader. So that's why I stopped you. And would anyone else like to mention on this, talk on this debate? Okay. Would anyone else like to? Councillor Florence Jukes, thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Firstly, I'd like to commend the leader on his decision to raise the council tax to the maximum of 2% or £5, unlike his predecessor who declined to raise it for 2010 to 2018, which I think has had an impact on this council. It's abundantly clear from the NTFS that this council faces significant financial uncertainty from next year onwards, but still with the ongoing requirement to make further savings or cuts, as we prefer to call them. That's been identified in the NTFS, in particular Section 11 with the risk assessment and management, which clearly lays bare the challenges that lie ahead. Will the leader join with many other council leaders throughout England and write to the Prime Minister calling for a significant injection of core central government funding to this local authority?
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, you can answer those questions, leader, please.
Thank you. I'm just answering the one question. We have, as Councillor Florence Jukes pointed out, the strategy assumes significant future uncertainty. That is uncertainty at this stage, and that is so. We are just for clarity in the coming financial year, we are delivering a balanced budget. In future years, we are projecting that the future funding uncertainty will leave savings to be made. However, until we have greater clarity over the future funding settlement, the future funding arrangements around business rates, we have taken a prudent and sensible approach to balance the five-year budget on that basis. Obviously, I would like to see more funding from central government, and I expect that the recently elected Conservative government will deliver that without my need to write to him.
Okay, thank you, leader. So again, we're going to have a name vote on this. So those monitoring officer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Ackroyd,
for.
Councillor Allen?
For.
Councillor Ashcroft?
For.
Councillor Barker?
For.
Councillor Beach?
For.
Councillor Brady?
For.
Councillor Chowdhury?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Faulkner?
For.
Councillor Fitzpatrick?
For.
Councillor Florence Jukes?
For.
Councillor Gaskin?
For.
Councillor Goodfellow?
For.
Councillor Gould?
For.
Councillor Greg Hall?
For.
Councillor Helen Hall?
For.
Councillor Hudson?
For.
Councillor Hussein?
For.
Councillor Killoran?
For.
Councillor Lamb?
For.
Councillor Legg?
For.
Councillor McGarry?
For.
Councillor McKiernan?
For.
Councillor Metcalf?
For.
Councillor Peters?
For.
Councillor Raybould?
For.
Councillor Sankey?
For.
Councillor Shrive?
For.
Councillor Sylvester?
For.
Councillor Walker?
For.
Councillor Wildman?
For.
It's carried.
And that is carried. Thank you, leader. You may sit down. Okay, thank you. Item number 11 on the agenda, the Hackney Carriage amendments and private hire policy. I invite the chairman of the licensing committee, Councillor Gaskin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Hackney Carriage and Private Hire Policy Review. In April 2019, the licensing team undertook a review of some of the vehicle aspects of the Hackney Carriage and Private Hire licensing policy and produced a revised document suitable for consultation. Items such as the approved vehicle list, vehicle emissions and write-off vehicles were reviewed. Licensing committee approved a consultation exercise which was conducted across the taxi trade and interested parties, such as the testing stations. Consultation responses were presented to the licensing committee. Items of note, there were approved vehicle list be updated with further suitable makes and models, including rear loading vehicles. That the Euro standard 4 and 6 be adopted from April 2022, improving the emissions of our licensed vehicles, and finally, that we would no longer license Category S write-off vehicles. I would like to thank the licensing team for putting this this report together. It is extensive, and they have put a lot of work into it, working with the taxi drivers to making sure that their vehicles were up to date and the vehicles that they wanted including would be included. I do commend it to you, and I would like at this point to propose that it be accepted.
Okay, can we have a seconder for this, please? Councillor McGarry, thank you. Okay, would anyone like to debate this motion? Councillor Florence Jukes.
It is more of a comment, just to say it is a really comprehensive report and it's welcomed, primarily because it seeks to solidify the environmental compliance, which is good. But not only that, it upgrades passenger safety and driver safety and other road users' safety. So what's not to like about the report? So well done.
Anybody else? Councillor Walker.
Yeah, just a point of clarification, really. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You mentioned a consultation exercise. In the paperwork, it says a small consultation exercise was undertaken. How small?
Anyone else? Okay, would you like to answer those questions then, please, Councillor Gaskin?
Yes, I'd like to thank Councillor Forrest Jukes for that those kind words. Yes, it had the safety of the people of East Staffs and the clean air and looking forward to a cleaner environment is always something that we were keen to put forward. The people involved in the consultation were the taxi drivers themselves and the places where they take their vehicles to be looked after. As far as I'm concerned, other people that are involved in that industry were asked for their input, and that's the people who were consulted.
Sorry, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So it wasn't a small consultation exercise, that's what you're saying?
Well, it wasn't across the board for everybody throughout the whole borough. It was just people involved within the trade. So everybody who's involved with the trade would be involved.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Gaskin. So we're going to move to the vote now on this. So those in favour of the report... Those against? And abstentions? Just the one abstention. Yeah. Okay, thank you. That's carried. Thank you, Councillor Gaskin, for that. We're now going to carry on with item 12, the review of statement of the Licensing Act policy 2020 to 25. Again, you can carry on, please.
The statement of the review of the licensing policy and the cumulative impact policy. Legislation states that the authority's statement of licensing policy must be reviewed every 5 years. This policy has been updated with the latest legislative changes and the guidance issued by the Home Office in 2018. Also included within this review is a cumulative impact policy, which forms part of the Council's statement of licensing policy. Staffordshire Police assisted with this aspect of the report. The policy was presented to the Licensing Committee prior and following a comprehensive 6 weeks consultation exercise. Amendments included an update to the definition of alcohol, information regards cumulative impact policies, information regarding the Immigration Act and entitlements to work, and powers to delegate to deregulate late-night refreshment licences. No comments were received following the consultation exercise. Once again, I'd like to thank the licensing team for putting this report together. Once again, it's very extensive and thorough, and I commend it to you and would like to propose that it be accepted.
Thank you, Councillor Gaskin. Do we have a seconder for this item? Councillor Faulkner, thank you. So we'll move to the debate. Would anyone like to comment on this item? Okay, so we will go to the vote. Those in favour? Those against? And abstentions? Okay, that's carried. Thank you, Councillor Gaskin. Okay, item number 13. To agree the 29th Mayor of the Borough of East Staffordshire, which was at the annual council meeting, will be held at the annual council meeting on May the 15th of this year. So, are there, could I receive nominations, please, from councillors? And we'll have a seconder. So, okay, Councillor Goodfellow, leader.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to, well, it gives me great pleasure to nominate Councillor Mrs. Patricia Ackroyd to be elected as the 29th Mayor of the Borough of East Staffordshire at the annual council meeting to be held on the 15th of May 2020.
And can I have a second, please? Councillor Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It gives me great pleasure to second that nomination. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so I think we'll move to the vote straight on that, I think. There's no need to... Yep. Okay, so those in favour to elect... thank you, my deputy. Thank you. Those against, I've got to answer that question. Are those against? And abstentions. Thank you very much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move to item number 14. To agree the 29th Deputy Mayor of the Borough of East Staffordshire at our annual council meeting, which will be held on the 15th of May. Again, can I receive nominations, please? Councillor Goodfellow, leader. Yeah, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It gives me equally great pleasure to propose Councillor Philip Hudson to be elected as the 29th Deputy Mayor of the Borough of East Staffordshire at the annual council meeting to be held on the 15th of May 2020.
Thank you, leader. Can we have a seconder, please, for that? Councillor Peters, thank you. I'm presuming there are no other nominations, so I think we'll just move to the vote on that. So, those in favour? Those against? And abstentions? Okay, it's carried. Congratulations, Councillor Hudson. Right, where am I? Yep. That's all right. Okay, item 15 is questions. I believe there has been a question. You've had the information before you. I think it's from Councillor Dukes, Florence Dukes, should I say. You've all seen the question. The question is and has been answered by the leader. So, Councillor Florence Dukes, would you like to comment on the answer that you've been given?
Yeah, firstly, Mayor, thank you for allowing it as an urgent question, because quite rightly, flooding is an urgent matter. It is a comprehensive reply, and I haven't got any supplemental question. Thanks to, I believe, Mark Risk and his team for the answer. And hopefully it will aid other councillors in advising people where to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Florence Dukes. So with that, I'm going to close the meeting, if that's okay with everyone. So there are nibbles, of course. So as ever, join us for a drink and nibbles. I believe they're in the minutes room. So thank you.